Welcome, everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery. We're recording from the 1119 headquarters here in Omaha. I have with me design princess Ashley McFeely.
Hello.
Ashley, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
And the uber spectacular Steve Gordon.
What's up?
Now, Steve, you said you'd have whatever's in the fridge.
Yeah.
So we've got some...
You had a Schlitz, and I got Great River Brewery from the Quad Cities. Red Band Stout with coffee added.
Sounds delicious.
Looks about like Starbucks variety.
Might be like a meal. It's pretty thick. I mean, it's if you need a fork with that, you let me know.
Dude, that's awesome. It tastes like iced coffee.
See, I don't like coffee. That's why I didn't like it.
Damn it, it's good.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm going to be so amped up for this show.
it's an upper and a downer all in one.
It is.
So
Great River.
Is just a kiss.
Shouts out to Great River. Donovan is requesting sixers of this regularly.
All right. We'll see what we can do.
It's not bad.
So what are you guys up to lately, Steve? What are you doing?
You know,
I mean, you're running. I mean, Brandon he's kind of bailed on you over there in River City. I mean, he's there after night, but
he went and got a regular good paying job. So I can't be too mad at him. It's been good. River City's going. We've cut the hours down to make it more of a destination location, so it's going well. We're producing.
What are the hours over there?
Thursday through Saturday, 12 to 8.
Okay.
And so we want it to be more of a destination. We have started our own brand, and we're starting to get some contacts so we can ship that all over the U.S. now. Ridiculous Creative is still going strong. In my 9th year now. Looking to make it to 10 and then make some decisions on life and goals. Ridiculous Goods and Cloth going well, and really loving the life of being gainfully unemployed.
Yeah, even you just list off like 18 jobs you have, yet you're unemployed. Where do people go for River City Social Club to find out more, other than like literally across the parking lot from the office where we're recording from?
River City Social Club, rcsocialclub.com. And if you ever want to get a hold of us at River City, that's info@rcsocialclub.com.
All right. And Ashley, what are you up to?
You know, it's been a lot of teaching. I'm teaching over at the University of Nebraska, Omaha here. So took on some design classes and, yeah, getting the word out about great design.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
I admire you and Joe and others who have gone the educational route. I've thought about it.
It's definitely a blast.
I have to bend your ear about it. I want to get into it.
I did it for a number of years, and it's rewarding. You actually learn as much as the student sometimes.
That's good.
It's true. Mean,
that's good.
Nothing will teach you how to debug a website than having to look through student code.
I've heard that from a lot of designers who have gone the route of instruction and education. Todd Boswell, Joe, yourself. You and Nate Voss, our buddy Nate Voss, has done it. So cool. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we got a couple questions here. This one's from actually Nicholas Burrows, who, I basically hounded him for some questions here today.
Good.
So he's at the desk next to mine and stuff. But he was just saying that we could talk about how do you actually just talk about your work.
That's tough.
Part of it is when you're telling people. Well, part of it is like kind of like the advice when you tell people like. How should people be talking about their work?
Right.
And I assume most of this is going to be like if you're one-on-one, probably a lot of interviews. But or in my case, you know, maybe it's even just pitching your work to potential clients.
Yeah. I have a very particular approach, which I'm not sure everyone would do. It's unorthodox. I've decided to brand myself pretty heavily. And in doing so, I haven't put together a portfolio in years because I kind of talk about my work in process. So my blog is part of my website, and there I talk about the step-by-step process. I show people Instagram, Twitter, all those things that, you know, all the social media buzzwords. But I use that to show my sketch processes. I introduce clients that way, where clients love getting feedback from other sources about how you are doing on their projects. So I found it funny. Most people ask, well, does your client ever get mad that you posted a picture of it on Instagram and the project's not done yet? And usually it's been a positive response from the client, because if they see 50 likes on this new logo I'm working on, And they're like, oh, we saw that a lot of people were liking the project. Good, keep going.
Most of the time, I mean, if clients will tell you, or if you ask them, they'll tell you, the clients that don't want you to show anything will tell you ahead of time.
Exactly. There's NDAs for that reason.
Yeah. So I assume when you're showing stuff online, it's
absolutely.
Like, and most of the time, we find, like, the smaller companies I work with, they don't mind if you show stuff,
share it,
like, outwards, because they're like, oh, you want to kind of promote us, right. Get our search engine stuff going, we don't care.
And exactly. The reason I talk about mine in process like that is so that it doesn't come across used car salesmanish of, check out this thing I was doing, this new feature, this new work. It's more constant, it's more natural. It's more authentic to how I would talk about anything. I talk about the shoes I like. I talk about the new pair of jeans I picked up. Oh, and there was this logo I was working on. So it's a little more natural, but I think I have the privilege, the good fortune of being able to do that because it's part of my brand. If I were a student talking about my work, I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought. Maybe that's where you can fill in.
Yeah, I can jump in on that.
Well, you see students present all the time.
All the time. Yeah, and so... I mean, and I work in-house, and so a lot of my stuff, you know, is presenting it with in-house, and then otherwise it's to students. And so I approach it from an education point, you know, where I see design. And I tell designers this all the time. I think design is always putting yourself into a position of educating people, you know, educating people like in terms of not I'm smarter than you, but this is the reason that I chose to do this, you know. And so, like, having a reason for everything that you're doing. And so I make that my top priority as I'm explaining these things is, you know, here's the work, and this is why I chose to do it. It's a benefit for you because, you know. And so seeing students work, I guess this is a little bit separate, but as far as presentation wise, we do something where we give them a chance, or I give them a chance to say anything negative or vent before they actually go up to present their work. We call it kitchen table time. It's time where you go and you're just raw and like, oh, I had trouble with the printer, or I, you know, like mess this up, or if I wish I had more time, or I'm so tired right now, and we get it all out. So then when we actually present our work, we present it in a positive way of saying, you know, these are the positive aspects of my work. And so I take on that same approach in-house. You know, if there's anything that's going on, there's like a safe person within my, you know, like my boss or somebody that I'll say like this and this and this. I'm not happy completely with this or how it printed or the paper that we had to choose for this. But then when I go to present it to the rest of the board or whoever, before we do like mass printing, then I'll say, here's the work, you know, and be able to talk about it in a positive way because I got that little bit of venting aside. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because, I mean, nothing's worse than seeing a younger person or an older person like presenting their work and they're like, this didn't turn out because the client said this, or this didn't happen because of this. And you're like, all right, it's okay to vent. It's okay to bitch to your friend, to bitch to the other person in the office because they understand, and, you know, that's fine. But when you're presenting to someone for either work or a job, it's
then
like,
it becomes an excuse.
The work The work there is the work there, and you sell it for what it is.
The way that Ashley framed it was perfect. It reminded me of something that I can give as a tip, that design is constant education, it's communication, and it's storytelling. Mm-hmm. Start to finish, we're telling a story. So no matter how you present or what your style is, remember that you're telling a story, a good beginning, a good middle, a great end, you know, crescendo. The cliffhanger is solved. Remember to tell the story along the way, and it'll get easier no matter what way you talk about your work.
Right.
Is if you're telling a story is interesting. Everyone rushes in the house or rushes in the homeroom or rushes into their friend's dorm room. Is like, you got to hear what just happened. Do tell. I'm already interested. What happened? You walk into a meeting that way. Okay, guys, you're going to love this. And go. You walk into a critique that way. Really excited to show you what I've been working on. The hook is already set. Tell the story.
And I mean, once you show your work, and especially like in a book format where you're showing like 10 pieces in a row, once you've shown enough, you don't need to rehearse it and stuff.
Right.
But the first time, I mean, it is best to. I had to give a talk at like Omaha Advertising X. Came in the office early before the other people got here because I didn't want to look embarrassing. And it's like a 45-minute talk, so it's like gave the talk out loud to the wall. but nothing's better than actually doing the talk out loud, going through exactly, you know, even if it's not going to be, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like bullet points what you're going to say, but to actually go through and try to fill out the whole thing, because I found that a couple times you're like, you know, the flow's not right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Move pieces around in your book, because sometimes, as you said, it's a story.
Yeah.
and that one piece, you're like, oh, that there's not there. There will sometimes be a natural flow from one piece to another.
There's no connection at that point, so you know.
I had it for years in my portfolio. One of the things that was a great flow is I had the one like, hey, here's a client where we did this identity stuff, and the whole goal was how cheap can we do it,
right?
And then the next flow was the piece that came 3 months later, which the other guy was like, how expensive can we do it?
That's great.
And it was one piece and another, but it was a nice flow from one to the other. I think it showed that we could work in different ways. There was a nice story there that was added.
Don't present. Tell a story. Presentations are nerve-wracking for the audience as well as the presenter. Tell the story.
Oh, I think coming in those 2 days in a row early made my one presentation go better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, I will say I'm the opposite, though. When I show work, we only show stuff that's completely done. We only show stuff that was picked from the client.
Mm.
The only place you'll see any of our work that may have been not selected was if you find us on Logo Lounge. We'll throw up some logos that didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you follow us, Facebook, website, all that, it's all like, we're like, part of it is because my sketches are terrible. My sketchbooks are bad.
But you do if use I even, sketchbooks.
If I use them at all, they're bad.
They've got grocery lists in them and no sketches.
Well, no, I mean like because I only need like real rough things, and I'm not. And so it's like I don't need it polished out. So
right.
So it's not really showable.
Right.
Like you guys that do
that's
more
where you gotta
illustrative,
that's where you gotta guys, crop tight.
The people who do more illustrative stuff, it makes sense.
A tight crop makes everything
when
look
it's
interesting.
Like three,
so
when it's like exactly. When it's like just three pencil lines in odd ways.
Get real tight on it. No one will ever know.
Wow. Look, even that line's crooked. Jesus.
Macro.
This guy.
Macro.
I don't know. All right, we'll be right back.
Easy, man.
Easy, easy. All right. So if we've had some people email for interviews or job shout, we really don't have any openings ever. But we always say hey, you want a job shadow? We love people to come to job shadow. It's fun, pick brains and stuff. But nothing is worse than the hey, this. Oh, I'd love to. Oh, great. I set up to say let me know what time, and then wait a week.
Right.
So if you're out there, unless you kind of know the person, and you know that, oh, they're going to take a week to respond, blah, 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 you should be checking your email every day. Well, mm-hmm. every business day, at least. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying a student emails you, wants to job shadow,
any
you
young
respond
designer.
Back, and then you don't hear from them in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, I think in this day and age, you should be checking email daily.
Definitely. And also, come with a plan, don't play schedule tennis, because assume that I'm already busy. I've got a lot of stuff on my plate. So don't go, hey, I'd love to meet with you sometime. Okay, great. When would you like to meet? Whenever's good for you. Never. Never's good for me. So decide. Ask me and I'll say yes or no.
I always have this vision in the back of my mind that there it's always like, oh, crap. Well, let me get my stuff together. And you're like, no, just respond right away.
Right.
When the date is set,
right.
then you have a deadline for getting your stuff
right.
together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're applying for a job and they're like, great, can you come in next Tuesday? You're like, yes. And then you have from whatever day it is till next Tuesday
yep.
to get your crap together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, or I'll usually tell people anytime before noon is perfect. My mornings are usually wide open. Once I get going, I'm kind of a momentum worker, so 12 to 6, I'm head down, charging through. So catch me before noon. What's confusing about before noon? Wake up anytime. Anytime before noon is great.
Your noon or my noon?
Exactly. East Coast noon. Where are you again? Same city as you. Let's go.
All right. Well, Burroughs' big tip for the students also was he was saying don't not email people. Or don't not ask for things just because you think everybody else is going to.
Mm.
So, if you follow somebody, these people probably aren't emailed as much as you think.
Right.
Unless it's Sagmeister, who probably is.
Right.
Always.
But everyone below Sagmeister probably does not
sub
get as Sagmeisters.
I love that we've defined a level of designer. Are you sub-Sagmeister? Yes, I'm a sub-Sagmeister.
Well, there's only two people not sub-Sagmeister.
Right.
It's pretty easy to define.
Right. Right. Yeah, sub Sagmeister, sub Debbie Millman. Other than that, Answer. True story. Another thing, to kind of ride off of that one. Most designers that you'd like to shadow or like to meet with, because I've had other professionals do this even, it's not just students, do not conduct business with me via my personal Facebook messenger.
Yes.
I have an info at, I have steve.g, I've got a website that has a contact form. Mm-hmm. I've missed out on a project that I probably would have really liked to do because it sat in my messy, unused, unchecked, unorganized Facebook queue. I know I have a Facebook page, and that's a little bit of my work, and yes, it'll get you to my website. But if I have a website, go ahead and send me an email through my contact page to my email. If it bleeds onto the personal time or Facebook, or I don't conduct business through Facebook.
Actually, Steve, the fastest way to get a hold of you is Twitter. Fastest way to get a hold of Steve, not through his website, is through his Twitter.
True story. I'll give you that.
All right.
Yeah, because that comes in my phone.
But you have to conduct your business 140 characters at a time, which
That's true.
Actually preferred because
keeps it short, man.
Nothing's better than a short message because a short reply is all
keeps
it's
it
needed.
Short. Hey, how you doing? Good.
Got job time for shadow?
Yeah,
question
job shadow?
Mark?
Question? Great. BT dubs before noon.
Yeah, and then my noon, yours.
Right.
Okay.
So done. Bottom line, students or whoever, professionals, young designers, be proactive. Be prepared and be courteous of the designers that you're asking, because you're asking them, right?
I love be prepared. Don't ask for a job shadow if you weren't ready to do the job shadow.
Yeah.
Don't just ask because. Ask with a plan.
Yeah.
Job shadows aren't bad. I mean, they're pretty short.
Yeah.
Also, make sure that you know what's expected. It's easier to get one if you say, "Can I stop by for like 2 hours?"
The best job shadow I ever had was a kid in middle school. He came with questions right on time. Had everything pertinent, took his notes. He had a plan.
That's so great.
It was awesome.
That's encouraging.
It was
one
awesome.
Of our best job shadows was in middle school. And
I think it was that same program. Was
maybe.
It from Westside Middle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the same program. This
I'll
kid
tell you
was
the other
awesome.
Side of the story off the air. It was a different student though.
Ah.
Not the best job shadow. All right. Well, we're going to come back. We got a couple other things to kind of cover for the youngins. I feel so old.
You are old, man. No,
I know.
I take that back because then that would make me old.
Yeah, we're
Who's older here? You?
I am.
I think it's close.
It is really close.
Well,
even
I'm
our birthdays
the,
are
well,
close.
Well, I'm the youngest, so.
Whatever. No one asked you, McFeely.
We'll figure it out off air. We'll come back with the answer. Place your bets.
Yeah,
pause
place
the quarter,
your bets.
Place
Who's
bets.
Older?
Who's older? So Steve is a good 10 weeks older than me.
Whatever, man.
That's basically retirement age.
Just totally ruined my night. Thanks, McFeely.
Doesn't look it, though. Doesn't look it.
You know, with how many weeks we've both been alive, 10 weeks.
That's
like,
true.
You know, then.
That's true. Like, I wasn't doing much before you showed up.
I didn't do much
right.
those first 10 weeks either.
I was just kind of hanging out, man.
All right. So what if you're... under the age of us.
I love it.
Maybe even under the age of a design princess over here.
Yeah, she's not too far behind the old train.
Which means you actually have years left in this profession.
Years left.
Years left, rather than just weeks or days.
Right, weeks. If you only have weeks left, enjoy, and we'll talk to you later.
Just write out what you're doing, finish the logo project.
Yeah, make sure you cash in the deposits.
Don't move to the computer now, just keep on the stat cameras.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Don't change anything.
You've only got 10 weeks left, write it out.
Write it out.
But if you're younger than that, what skills do you think would be best for someone in to learn, like, say, for the next 5 years? It's obviously not Flash anymore.
No.
10 years ago, people were like, oh, maybe Flash.
Yeah.
But maybe not Flash.
No.
What do you think, Ashley?
Gosh, well, you know, I feel like I want you to run with this as far as the software stuff, because I just want to run with the skills of, like, teachability and, you know, positive and like proactivity, you know, just being proactive and pursuing and looking and doing your research. And I don't know that those are skills so much as maybe they're skills, but that's the direction I'm going to naturally want to be inclined to do.
Well, I think the Adobe software is actually, you can learn that in just a matter of like a month.
Yeah, the software's become simpler.
Cloud is great.
Cloud is awesome. And honestly,
we'll probably move over in November.
Google's your friend. You can find out just about any process or action that you need. You know, you can look all that stuff up. So that's doable. I'd say in terms of the skills that I've seen others need to use, there's a trend now that studios are popping up more and more frequently. Less and less people are going to work in-house or at jobs.
Now, there are more in-house jobs than any. That's the largest segment of designers still. And it still will be for a while.
But, and I don't think that'll ever change in terms of the mass quantities of designers, because corporations obviously can afford to employ more of us at one given time. But I've seen a trend that fresh out of college, everyone has the name up in lights or name on the door type of syndrome, where you're going to start your own thing. You're going to start your own gig. And while skills coming out of school are very important and skills with software are very important, I would say things like project management, communication skills, if you're going to be running your own shop or carrying your own clients, even as a freelancer, you're going to need to know how to present, how to talk to the client. 3/4 of landing a client is communication. Being able to answer their questions, information.
Go back. I mean, part of presenting your work. I mean, and the reason we do, like, if someone comes in here and they don't know much about us, we're just going to bring out the portfolio and stuff.
Right.
But part of it is also because it's our excuse to show them, like, this is our process in a way. Like, this is what. But also, like, this is what you should expect from us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when someone comes back and they're like, well, I was kind of expecting something different. It's like, did you not see all of our work?
I love that. Like, what were you expecting before you got here?
Like we know that you're a different type of client than we did before, so it's going to be custom.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want something that's a completely different style, we've never done it. It's like, not that everyone's just hammered into one style, but
I appreciate.
But if you want this certain thing, and it's like,
yeah,
if you didn't see it in our work, where'd you think it was going to come from?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Don't expect pizzas from McDonald's, dude.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think the best.
Does McDonald's make pizzas?
I don't think so. Not
okay.
yet.
Okay.
I think they tried it for a while, didn't they?
Don't
like,
even.
Like back in the don't give back them the when idea. We were in high school, I think.
I think they might have tried and failed miserably.
I never.
It sounds awful.
It's like cheeseburger pizza.
Yes.
That's what they make.
Oh. Gross.
No, they would. They'd mess that up too.
Totally mess that up. Yeah. But that's the point.
Here's what I'll say about like what Steve was saying. As far as the, well, I don't know that you were saying this, but it made me think of this.
I was saying it.
But I mean, I had the experience of working at advertising agencies prior to where I am now as a communications director, and there's things that I would never be able to do if not for that experience. And I'm not saying that everybody's experience has to be the same, but you gain so much knowledge and skills. You're talking about project management. You're talking about how to speak to a client. You're talking about how to dress because you're surrounded by people that have done it for longer than you. I'm speaking, I think, specifically to people just getting out of college or just wanting to get on your own. Just even having that foundation of, yeah, I've been, you know, through that process or been around people. And maybe it is job shadowing.
Yep.
Maybe it is studio visits. But myself, I am more inclined to want to work with people or talk to people and share more with people that are willing to do that extra, you know, like take the steps and surround themselves with people that are better than them or have been around the industry longer than them. Because that shows, again, teachability. That shows, it just breaks down the arrogance of like, nah, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to do it by myself.
Yep.
And that's far more attractive.
Yeah.
As a designer or whatever else you want to get into to know. And even as clients, I think clients are more inclined to go after designers that aren't like my way's the best and like, I don't know, shun everybody else.
Absolutely. Like what Donovan was saying, I've actually shuffled clients off to other designers because they were expecting that style from me.
Yeah.
I'll find you someone that can fit your style, you know? It's like price matching when you go to a store.
Right.
Like, do you match this price? Why don't you just buy it over there? let's find you someplace that fits.
Yeah.
And then also being able to communicate can have its monetary gains also. I've been able to monetize my creative brief because I like to have conversations with my client. I like to communicate with the clients. And it's a longer process than a line item sheet slid across the table that says, hey, fill in the blanks and tell me what you want, and then I'll do your project. A client can be really put off by that. Mm-hmm. And so I tell them, let's have a conversation. Let's meet up.
Well,
let's take an hour and talk.
A real design, there is no what do you want. It's because you have to listen to what they're actually wanting.
Exactly. Say it again. Please say it again. You have to listen.
Yeah, I mean, the client will only ever ask for what they've seen done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they always say, like, well, we want a brochure and we want this. Yeah. And you're like, you don't. You know, every time someone comes in, and we've had this a few times, they're like, we want a trifold brochure. You know how many trifold brochures we make? Not many.
Right. Exactly.
You know, they just see the trifold brochure,
yep.
but that's,
yep.
They really want a bifold,
yep.
Or they want something yeah. else. It's like, oh, you just want to convey about that much information
right.
to
right.
somebody.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to stretch that postcard of information into a trifold, sir.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Please Z-fold it. Anything. These trifolds are just terrible. Terrible. But I think the skill that you also should be learning is some sort of web. Even if you're not going to do like full code, because it's still not going away.
Yeah, oh,
I mean,
no.
It's still not a fad. Paper's not disappearing altogether.
No, it's
yeah.
it's now segmented itself. Paper is going to stay. It's fine. That revolution is past. The web is going to stay. It's fine. The bubble's not going to burst
still
this
growing.
Time. But what I see a lot of is learning how to manipulate the template sites, the WYSIWYG sites, the Squarespaces and whatnot. It's being made simpler to put websites out.
Yeah, it's weird. I always thought like the HTML and the CSS, because that was something, you know, I've been doing that for way too long.
Right.
But I always was like, some of these code developers are getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to kind of go away. And all of a sudden things like WordPress comes in, and I got a programmer friend who's really good at like backend stuff, and he's like, but he doesn't like that. He's like, it's really easy to run if you're good at HTML and CSS. It's like, that's why we use it.
Exactly.
So I thought it was going away, but now all of a sudden it's a skill that's helped me more than
well,
anything
even
again.
With, even with Squarespace, cascading style sheets, that's what CSS stands for, kids. It's simpler to get into a templated.
Do you know the HTML? Are you going to get that one through?
Hypertext markup language.
There we go. Ding, ding. Winner.
39 years and 10 weeks, buddy. It's getting simpler to be able to go onto a site like that because they do have managed content management systems. That's why I like Squarespace. Is they tell you up front, you pay for this. WordPress is free, but you have to maintain it yourself. Squarespace, you pay, and we'll take care of the back end for you. And it's nice. But in their custom CSS, if you don't know how to read CSS, you can't manipulate the site. You can't customize anything. And so knowing how to read and do the basics enough to be dangerous with CSS has come in very handy for me.
Yeah, and even like you were saying, kind of off-air and stuff, that even if you don't learn how to do all the code, you've been doing a lot of web, it sounds like, front-end stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to be able to even talk to the coders that I hire.
I was going
to
say, that's been
yep.
the biggest thing, because I'm not way into web at all. I don't even flaunt that as a skill that I have, but enough that I can have that communication so
yep.
when we do upgrade websites or whatever, I can talk.
Say that word again. Communication.
Communicate.
See?
Yes.
It comes back to that. Is being able to talk to, if you're going to run a small studio, you're going to either hire a team that's going to be on staff, or you're going to put a team of freelancers and independent artists together to do what you need to have done.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to communicate with your team, project manage, and creative direct a project is going to come in really handy. And if you can't speak the language, you're like, it's like being in a foreign country.
Or on the other hand, if you're one of the people that's part of the team, you just need to communicate, this is what I can do
right.
up to this point.
Yeah, and fancy designer, you can't do that on the web. Oh, okay, so there's communication back and forth.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of coders say, hey, that looks great, but it's going to need to work this way. because that's not quite how the web works. Okay, I completely understand, because I've done a little work to get myself up to speed on at least understanding being able to order food in France.
Ooh.
Nice. Ooh, right. You like that?
You just kind of point at other people's plates.
Dusty, I just pull out my iPhone and translate.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's wonderful. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're actually going to be back next week from, or I will be anyway, from the Head, Heart, Hand AIGA conference in Minneapolis.
Nice.
I think we're going to try to do some daily recaps. We're going to bust in on some after parties. We'll be, if you see us there, we'll be in the Find Me. I've got a bunch of stickers to give away and stuff.
Donovan's so famous.
He is. He's totally famous.
No, but I will also be blogging for ninapaperblog.com. So follow us there.
Not famous, but.
Yeah, but by the way,
I'm just telling people where to find me on the AIGA conference.
You're killing it, bro. We're so proud.
Yeah.
How come you guys aren't going?
I can't get the time off. My boss is a dick.
Oh, because the conference is Thursday through Sunday, which happens to be like the only days your office is open.
See what I did right there?
Yeah. All right. Well, I will not be at River City this next week.
Sorry, man. We're going to miss
Maybe the week after.
We're going to miss you.
All right. All right. Thank you guys much. We'll see you next week.
Awesome.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luters.